In his Nobel Prize lecture, The Production of Mutations, before the Karolinska Institute, Stockholm, Sweden, H.J. Müller warned that humans are numbered by innumerable mutations. Since the vast majority of these mutations are undesirable, their future random production should be rigorously avoided as far as possible. All high-energy radiation produces such mutations in man. Radiologists were warned, therefore, to insist upon simple precautions to shield the gonads whenever individuals are exposed to radiation, either in industry or in medical practice. But what about atmospheric testing? What about July 16th, Monday at 5:59 in the morning, when we unleashed the atom upon the universe, and now, today, we must suffer the consequences? Well, this is the Boss, and this is the Mission Possible radio show, and I want you to take some time to listen, because I was at the test site, I was at Mercury, and I knew Stephen Willard. So I would like for you to listen to the ballad of Stephen Willard, and hopefully you too will begin to sing No Nukes.
About 60 miles from Goodertown, where the people frolic with their money while the heavy shit is going down. The lights flash and the bells ring, they play the hollow parody, laughing, drinking, dancing, play and sing, buying and selling their dignity. Pyramid and laser beam. Meanwhile, at Mercury, Nevada, Mother Earth bleeds and screams. No nukes for the healing of the nations. No nukes, he gave his meditation. No nukes for the future generations. And he'd come to take a stand, seek the truth and look it in the eye, fast and pray for the land, to feel the pain so deep, so dark, it'd make you fall down and cry. Cut off his hair and he sat down there, I saw him sitting with his head held high. Sitting the next morning at that line drawn in the sand, he was still sitting when I left the next day, a solitary, extraordinary man. No nukes for the healing of the nation. No nukes, he gave his meditation. No nukes for the future generation. Some people want to turn their heads away. Some topics are too scary or depressing, might spoil your breakfast on this beautiful day. But when you've seen it down in your soul, is there any proper way to act? Next time I looked into his eyes, I knew he wasn't turning back. He wasn't just there for the weekend, not just a slogan or a passing flip. He had it tattooed on his big strong arm, changed his name to No Nukes. No Nukes, trying to do what is right. No Nukes, trying to dedicate his life. No Nukes, thumbprint on the line. He didn't want to be a hero. He was just following his heart. And it led him to ground zero. And ground zero left its mark. For a year he carried the pain. And he never said a word. And then a tumor was discovered in his brain. That was the next thing that I heard. The great sadness we all must face. A noble cost of a nuclear arms race. We circled and sang into the other side. Saw him smile just before he died. No, no. I'll say it once again, no, no. With a warrior to the air, no, no. Gonna miss you, my dear friend. Hey, no, no. He was right just all along, no, no. He was brave and he stayed strong, no, no. I dedicate this song.
Yes, 15 years ago, I started on a path to let everybody know what's really going on. I've been there, and I'm telling you, it ain't pretty. But we're going to write it. We're going to set it straight with love and joy, with the right frequencies. We're going to do it all. I'm going to do it for you and me. We won't stop until we see a beautiful world for all the boys and girls. We're going to start it all because I'm the boss, and this is the mission possible, and with God, all things are possible. Yes, a reverend can be into politics. Yes, a reverend can be into science. Yes, a reverend better be into everything because they got to make sense of it all. Oh, yeah. You listening, it's live. These are my friends. Every day, I listen to my friends who are speaking to me. You know, the final decision about the atomic bomb being left up to one individual, the true man, the decision of people to develop it before even the president knew about it, had to be informed about it. And once he was informed about it, he was in Germany. He was at Potsdam. And he was sitting down, and he was making deals. But he was a mousy little man at that time, and he didn't know he had such an extraordinary atomic weapon. And when he finally realized what he had, oh, it is documented, folks. It is documented in history that all of a sudden, all the newsmen, everybody saw Truman become absolutely the most confident individual in the whole wide world. It's because he felt that he had the power, but the power was of destruction, not construction, and that unleashing the atom in the universe was probably the most detrimental. I mean, when you talk about saving lives, when you talk about it, the mentality of it all is only going to understand what we do know about the truth, and that we all could have been one. And that our plan is that a certain amount of free will was made available to us. And that no matter if we tried and if we honestly sought God, we would win. But selfishness and war wrong came in and people began to dispute the very truth and got mixed up in hatred and jealousy and sin. And they kept on running our government. And for everything we have been watching, like we say in the creed, we the unwilling. Well, I am unwilling to watch it go down any further. And I know when I hear the beep, that'll be my friend, unless he's on already. Come on in, Len, and tell the people what's really going on. Are you
Reverend
there?
Roxy, hey, awesome introduction. Love the song. Always love your presentations.
Thank you. Now, I would love for you to tell me what you've been up to, because this is probably the first time I've been able to have a radio show in order to even get the time to talk to you.
Yeah, it's about the speed of things in the fast lane, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to just share everybody the two things. One, related to your topic tonight, I've got something to share with regard to the nuclear issue. It's not something that's passe, folks. It's something that's very contemporary, very right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to share some insight on that. And I would like to also tell you that the archives with regard to Reverend Roxy co-hosting the Insight Hour with yours truly, Dr. Len Horowitz, every Tuesday night, same time, that's 9 o'clock Pacific and 12 midnight East Coast, we're on the Insight Hour, and the archive files in bbsradio.com have being updated as we speak. And so this year's, all of the shows will have a description. They're currently up right now, available to you. Please, highly encourage you to give Don Newsom a thank you, hearty, you know, thanks from the deepest section of your heart, that love, frequency, vibration deep within your heart. Tell Don, send him a letter, say thanks so much for giving everybody the opportunity to have Dr. Len Horowitz and Reverend Roxy Hampton bless the airways, and also the fact that through his labors of love, we have access now to all of the records, all the files, all the shows, starting back in January of this year, and we're going to do our best to even get up years past up. They'll all be up, and for a little bit of a donation, and please, it's far more than if you can, you can afford far more than $2 a month, which is all that BBS Radio is asking for. Please make it a point to donate more than that, whatever you feel in your heart that the benefit, blessing that you're receiving from this valuable information, it's worth it. Give as well as receive. So, Reverend Roxy, I want to just stop right there. I want to talk later. I would like to simply ask you to give me a couple minutes on this nuclear issue, and I want to bring you up to date on how this is not something from World War II or the past years. This is happening right now, and we need to really begin to think about it, make some heavy choices.
Well, you know, Dr. Len, that's exactly how Mission Possible Radio Show works. What we are doing is going and looking at the past, like bringing up to date Monday, July 16, 1945, we detonated a bomb early in the morning in a desert. And now, no one knew that that was going to happen, and the bright flashes of light were all over St. George, Utah, all over Vegas. Everybody noticed it, but nobody made a correlation. If you could see the light, then you could be very well irradiated. The Kodak Film Company in Las Vegas lost all its film and had to sue the military to get to recoup their losses on all their film, because it all had become exposed to radiation. So we know that this traveled not just into the desert, but everywhere. So in you wanting to bring us up to date with what's going on with the high energy and low radiation and how it is affecting us and how the pharmaceutical companies use this radiation to mutate the viruses that are coming and attacking us, you've got the time.
Oh, sister, now give me the update. Again, my nose has been in this documentary we're producing right now, as well as this other Labors of Love. Tell us about the report. This was in USA Today today, was it?
Oh, no, this wasn't. No. We were talking about economics, me and Brad, but
yeah.
No. What I need for you to do is explain to people exactly how radiation and viruses work together, how they are created. You see
all
what
right,
I'm saying?
You got it.
That's what I need for people to understand, because that's going to tie into what we're talking about when we get to the idea of synthetic man-made AIDS.
Okay.
That we're responsible.
All right. So here's the essence of the most important information. Number one is you have the United States federal government currently preparing next month, probably 4 weeks from tonight, folks, you're going to be receiving news through the mainstream media that our Homeland Insecurity Department, as well as Health and Human Services, have joined up to produce a 24-hour television network on preparedness to prepare you and motivate you, persuade you to go out and do certain things, purchase certain things from vaccinations to HEPA filters to put on your ventilation system in your apartment or your home, to reduce your exposure to not only biological weapons and bioterrorist attacks, but also this issue of nuclear weapons. They're preparing you to understand that this new war that they're engaged in risks Americans' lives in so far as the potential risk of bioterrorist attacks, outbreaks from laboratories, as well as nuclear explosions. They are called suitcase nuclear weapons, have been now deployed around the planet, supposedly, we're told, in terrorist hands, and that we in the United States should get prepared. They have named, get this is a news in case you haven't heard, September is the first annual National Preparedness Month, specifically to get you and your family to realize that you're living in America, you're threatened now at risk of bioterrorist and nuclear attacks, and that you need to do whatever you need to do. Now, that's the issue. It's actually completely absurd to have a threat that we don't even know. We don't know what city, we don't know what time, we don't know what place, we don't know really how to prepare. The old duck and cover back in the 50s, if you were my age, you would remember as a school child, you would be under your desk in routine civil defense drills, nuclear drills, whereby the children were told to cover their heads and duck under their desks as a preventative against a nuclear explosion. How absurd that is. Absolutely, completely absurd. But yet the whole concept you have to understand is not simply the risk of the nuclear. It is the risk of the fright, of the fear, of the manipulation, the persuasion, the coercion, as well as the depopulation. Because you see, so many people out there today are on drugs. They're depressed. They're already on psychotropic medications for depression, for anxiety. What do you think that this is doing? This kind of impending doom is happening in this message put out now on this 24-hour television network dedicated fully to these fears, and it's all propaganda. But the reality is that, as Roxy has said, there is a definitive link between the nuclear industry and the pharmaceutical cartel. And that link intimately connects to the research from what was called the Special Virus Cancer Program. In the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, it's one of three national bestsellers I would highly recommend you get. It is definitively cited, referenced, as well as the documents, including the United States government contracts under which not only numerous AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses were bioengineered by the Army's sixth top biological weapons contracting lab back in the 1960s and early 1970s. It's called Litton Bionetics. But it was also contains, the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, also contains a whole list of the viruses that they manipulated, mutated, hybridized, created in their labs, which includes a cancer virus that is spread like the flu. It's acute lymphocytic leukemia recombined with influenza and parainfluenza viruses. So the whole concept of this avian flu coming to get you, think about the fact that the pharmaceutical industrialists and the war on cancer and the war on AIDS and the war on terrorism are run by the same, virtually the same people and the same corporations now, as a globalization has occurred and multinational corporations run virtually everything, and they're all one cartel. You have to realize that when the Department of Energy, for example, funds the Human Genome Project, which they did, in fact, the United States Department of Energy, which runs nuclear energy issues and policies and experiments, that organization literally controlled the entire Human Genome Project until it was stolen in the last final days by George Soros's sharks. J. Craig Venter was one of them, working for Soros and allied industrialists. They stole it from the American government. Of course, it was an inside job, and that ultimately now the entire genetic sequences are all known and potentially used, will be used, for conducting various genocides. That is simply making money off of humanity's suffering. The illnesses, the deaths. There's a depopulation agenda that's also on top of the fact that the industrialists are making money when people get cancer, when people get AIDS, when people get sick. And the contracts in the Special Virus Cancer Program definitively prove Reverend Roxy Hampton's thesis is completely accurate. That is that the energy industrials, the nuclear radiation technologies, and the industry that supports it has been intimately involved in genetic mutating of viruses. In fact, that was one of the earliest ways to mutate a crystalline structured virus. RNA, DNA viruses were literally irradiated energetically and then tested on various species, including humans. I want to also let you know that in the book Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola, as well as in the book Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, which has some stunning documentation in the last six chapters, not only regarding the mad cow disease issues, but also this whole concept that airborne irradiation, airborne intoxications of, from chemicals as well as biologicals, all of this is being advanced under the Revolution in Military Affairs from the United States Army's War College. They advanced that whole agenda of revolutionizing militarization of the entire planet, virtually, to substitute for these huge destructive world wars. They would have smaller, controllable wars in which terrorism played a major role, and above all, to conduct that program, propaganda on mainstream media. That was the requirement, the critical requirement, the whole thing contingent, was a contingent upon, dependent on, the fact that mind control, mass manipulations of the public's mind through mainstream media would be directed by these military industrialists. It's called the Revolution in Military Affairs, and in these documentation, this documentation that we show you in the books that I just mentioned, is the contracts by which the directors of the Department of Energy, including Alfred Hellman, H-E-L-L-M-A-N, we show you his contract, how he worked intimately as a chief energy industrialist, as a radiation industrialist, how he oversaw the development of cancer viruses, specifically the ones that could be sprayed through the airways and deliver cancer like the flu. So, Reverend Roxy, I want to just thank you for giving me a couple minutes on the Mission Possible program. Look forward to speaking with you again and everybody else listening on Tuesday night, same time, on the Inside Hour. Love you, sister.
I love you, too, Dr. Lennon. That was really brilliant. I mean, that's me and you, we're cut from the same cloth, and we're just going to surround these people with the information, and then they'll have to make up their own decision, because free will is what God gave us. So you either stand with the beast or you stand with the prophets. And you try not to be tempted by the evil tempters that are trying to tell you that 2 and 2 is 5.
Yes,
so if you want to call back in, you're listening, you want to get on, jump in on the next round in this conversation about our economics and where our money is on this day after all this insane playing, and remember the test site and then marching down to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and exactly what these cowboys and how we all must now pay later on for this terrible thought. We have to get right. We have to repent. And the other thing that's really neat that I wanted to tell you, Dr. Lynn, you're so on it with the frequencies, you know what I'm saying? It's, we can bust that virus up. We can bust it up, that we can illuminate it, we can seek it out, and then we can take it and we can tweak it. That's what Rife was talking about. So we're so close, and the technologies are there. The only thing we have to do is maintain our Godhead and make sure that we don't die of fright.
You bet. Love you, sister.
Love you, too.
Aloha.
Listen, everybody, we're listening to Mission Possible Radio Show. I'm the boss. That was Dr. Leonard Horowitz, my co-host. I'm telling you, he's the host. But opportunities are never missed. Other people get them. 16 years, this man's been writing books. And he asked me to hold down his show. I'm proud. I'm not proud to the point of arrogance. But my goodness, when you can exchange with such brilliant minds as the type of minds that are associated with Dr. Lynn, like all the people from what the cell is going on to all the people that are, you know, Nassim Harriman, and when you can keep up because you basically understand the divinity and the beauty of God and the whole pattern of nature, you can then be in the spirit. And you know what? I have to say this. I don't know what happened, but Happy's having a potluck, and this is my friend who's running the Raw Spirit Festival, and I wanted to give you an update on it all, because it's just growing, folks. I mean, there's the fact that they've just now entered into nonprofit status, which means is that they're going to be able to be more benevolent and people are going to be able to donate. And they got an electric car, test drive an electric car, and they've got all kinds of special things for people to get there and get back. And they've even added extra workshop. They also wanted me to let you know that the early bird special is good till August 31st, and that's a $295 value that you get, and that's because you want to get in early so that your meals, your seven glorious, beautiful meals, the rest of the time you're going to be drinking Raisin Cane kombucha and all the other wonderful products that are there that the vendors are going to be introducing you to and putting in your life. Because if we are to survive, which is the greatest gift of life, that is the goal. Without it, it's something else. Which is cool, because we all come around again. But this here Raw Spirit Festival update is brought to you by us. And that's Inside Hour and the Mission Bible Radio and PBSRadio.com. We are down with the spirit, so we are down with what's going on in October 12th through the 14th, and now at the 15th. You don't want to run off. So you want to call. You want to call this number. I'm going to give it to you. You could either contact happy@happyoasis.com, or you can, I'll say that again, happy@happyoasis.com, or you can contact info@rawspirit.com. Now, if you don't have, and you are listening to this because someone done passed this over to you in the DVD form along with a lot of the other Mission Possible shows and Inside Hours and all the other hosts of PBS Radio that you can download and get into a DVD and pass on to people, I'm going to give you some live numbers. This one is 928-776-1497. When you call, when you email, please do Inside Hour and Mission Possible a favor and tell them that we sent you, that you want to get your reservation in because you want to hang out with Reverend Roxy, the boss of Mission Possible, and Dr. Len, the Inside Hour, and experience the love code, the 528, love the real Da Vinci code, and get in touch with what's really going on. So that's something to do in the harmonic convergence as we get down to it. Now, I got to get off the air here for 1 minute, so it's going to be dead air. We'll get you on again, but we're going to get Brother Brad on, and then anybody that want to call in or take 2 cents, we're going to introduce you to my main man, Brad, that's going to be conversing with me for a couple of weeks, because we're going to show you what it means to read the newspaper and then make sense of it all as you begin to look at the past, the present, and the future. So don't go away. This is BBSRadio.com. I'm the boss. This is Mission Possible Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Oh, Lord.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, information and knowledge bringing humanity closer to truth.
We're back. I had to get my brother Brad on the phone, but before we talk to Brother Brad, we're going to get happy. I'm so happy that you were able to. I started letting the people in on what was going on in some of the updates, but please, now you know what this is, everybody. This is Take 5 for Raw. So, Happy, Will you please give us an update about this Raw Spirit Festival and what's going to be going on October 12th through 14th, 2007 in spectacular Sedona, Arizona?
Thank you, Reverend Roxy. Yes, the Raw Spirit Festival in spectacular Sedona has amazing news just this week. We just found out that more than 1,000 people have confirmed that they're coming, which means that this is going to be the biggest raw vegan eco-peace celebration in creation. And so that is really big news. However, would you like to know why it is growing so much, Roxy?
Sure.
It is, Raw Spirit Festival is actually an ever-expanding bliss-conscious communion of dynamic and amazing people. And there are hundreds of people who are volunteering, who are involved in myriad capacities. And some other great news is we just became 501c3 status achieved 2 weeks ago. So people are starting to donate to the festival as never before, because we set up three ways that they can do that. They can choose if they'd like to offer any tax-free donation for the perennial festival fund, the endowment. Two, for scholarships for people who are indigenous, elderly, or chronically ill who wouldn't be able to volunteer. And also a land fund, because last year we had one repeated complaint. And that complaint was that people wished that it lasted all year long. So we're trying to buy some land so that we can make it last all every day of the year in celebration of our beautiful home planet. There's many other things that are happening, such as we now have a meetup group booth, the first time ever. The people from all over the world can meet raw vegetarians from their area, or they can meet people from the area that they're going to be traveling to. So it's a really fantastic, focused opportunity. Also, we've just set up our ride boards so people can share rides with each other. So those are some of the basic logistics. You can test drive an electric Jeep that goes 120 miles per hour for the first time ever. The military produced it, and now they're releasing it to the public, and this festival is going to be one of the first to debut it. And our electric car festival within our festival is growing, so we now have a number of electric cars who are going to be present, and it looks like I'm going to be procuring one of these electric cars so I can once and for all kick the gas habit, people. I don't know if you knew this, but it's not necessary to use gasoline at all. These cars, this technology is really taking off, and we're going to be showcasing that at the festival, as well as wind and solar and all kinds of eclectic innovations that are just so novel and so exciting that it's something not to be missed. I could go on and on, Roxy, and I will just leave it at that. We're really excited about this. And something very auspicious that happened, to just bring it home, that this is really about, this festival is about the power of manifestation. It's about the power of community coming together in peace and love and harmony and overcoming all the other doubtful forces. And we really are a powerful force. Tonight we had a potluck. Raw vegetarian potluck, 25 of us, just a small group, and we sat in our swimming pool and we started shaking rattles, and we shook them and we shook them, and we decided we were not going to stop until the rain started to break our drought. Well, it hasn't rained here for many months, and we kept rattling against the odds because it was pretty much a cloudless sky, and we rattled and rattled for only half an hour, but in blissful prayer and dance and kicking and splashing, and it poured. So this is just the beginning of what's possible for every one of us out there. Thank you so much, Roxy. It's people like Roxy and Dr. Len Horowitz who are making this festival so awesome. If you'd like to know more about it, feel free to check us out at rawspirit.com or rawspiritfest.com. Bliss forth, and we'll see you there.
All right, Happy. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, that's the Raw Spirit, and yes, yours truly and Dr. Len are going to be under the same big top in Sedona, and when I mean big top, I mean stars. Brother Brad, are you there?
I am there.
I am so happy. I want you, everybody out there, to know that it's a wonderful thing to pick up a phone and make a friend.
Amen.
And that's what I did last week. I picked up the phone here, and I met a friend. And I like this man so much, I says, brother, you got to come and kick it with me here on the radio and explain what it is that we're doing, because I've been trying to tell everybody this is not something we're making up. We are using good references, good sources. I'm not saying anything out of originality. Everything has been written. I'm reading it out of book. So good sources, the source, just like God in our life works and allows us to stay on the even way, on the even path.
Yes. And the truth is the truth, the world around. So it's so nice to be able to come on the show where you can speak the truth. I've only been in a position where I could read 3 daily newspapers for the last year, but there's mostly all the same news, but you can still glean from the news that's what's happening in the economy, what's happening with the war, what's happening with our political social system, and what's happening with the ecology of the planet and just in our nation. And you can get a kind of a feel for what might be leading our sons and grandsons and daughters and granddaughters.
Now, I understand you've been reading the USA Today. You've been subscribing to the USA Today for now a month?
No, for a year.
Oh, for a year.
Yes, and where I go to have coffee in the morning, they have them out there, so I can read every morning through the paper. But I find that I don't read just everything. I only read those things that are pertinent to... I've been retired for the last 22 years, and I watch the economy. I watch where our country's going. I look at how our politicians are doing with the major things that are happening. I've been a street preacher and a prison preacher for 22 years, so I have been dealing with the homeless and the incarcerated. And so I know people at the lower levels, and one of the biggest things I like to dispel is when you hear someone nowadays say that the unemployment rate is low, that is a fallacy, because they are only counting the people that are going into the office and have benefits coming. That's the number of the people that they report. They don't report anyone that has done away with all of their benefits, used them all up, and they're no longer showing up in the office. So I try to get CNN sometime to open up an 800 number where everybody that would like a job could call up, because if you're not receiving benefits, you're not counted as being unemployed. So in this year of watching USA Today, I could only get so much from the library, but we are seeding the oceans with iron dust to try to get plankton to start. The polar bears are having a hard time finding ice to get their pups to lay up on. Greenland is showing the cracks and the signs of the chunk that fell off the Antarctic the size of Rhode Island. It's showing that same ripple effect, but the Greenland ice is not in the water, so it will raise levels. Over here in Maui, we're losing beaches because the veracity of the tides and the wind action that we're seeing over here. So I started out as a Christian preacher, and I have just run around, and no one is being the watchman. And I hate to bring up, I'm now a Jewish Rastafarian. But I think that the way, if I had the time, this show is just the beginning, but I can validate by everything in just USA Today, and everybody says, Brother Brad, Murdoch controls everything. You're not getting any news at all. Yeah, but if we have 12 states that are in forest fires, if we have the Hoover Dam with not enough water to pump energy, if we have the Okeechobee Lake in Florida that hasn't seen a drop come down its contributory for over 200 and something days, we have a major problem. I think water may become a bigger problem than fuel. But nobody's watching the aquifers. No one's telling you that the satellites can't find plankton on the ocean surface. No one's telling you that the Arctic ice is not reflecting sunlight anymore because of the soot that's coming from China. It's now absorbing things. But I've lived in Paia over here on Maui, and I've dealt with people that say, Brother Brad, if you're putting such negative thought, I have to tell you that my job is only to warn people that you can put your head so far down in the sand that it can come back out and you can be looking at yourself. And we have to be aware of at least what's going on to the surface, what they will tell us over the airwaves. And it doesn't look good for our children. If we look at what China's doing, Chrysler, it used to be that the way GM and Ford went, that was the way the country, and if GM got the sniffles, the country got the cold. We now have General Motors and Chrysler. Chrysler's thinking about selling cars made in China. That's where we are. The unions have failed us. The CEOs have taken over the political, and we better start villages. We better put away food and water. We better be able to take the bird flu. We had better be prepared. Otherwise, I'm afraid it will come upon us unaware of how quick it can change. None of the computer models show any of these significant changes that have been happening. The coral, the Great Barrier Reef in Australia is turning white, and it's inching its way up, and we're not alarmed. No one's hollering. I think we've come complacently asleep and decided to never listen to the news because it's so depressing. But, oh, if we get off the system, we get food, and we don't have to go in town for a year. I don't have to go in for a year. We may be able to even forget that it's happening.
Well, that's kind of like the parable of the seven youths of Ephesus, that instead of staying in the town, they went up and hid themselves in a cave, and their faith. And this is a parable that not only Islam but also the Christianity stands on, that it actually happened, and that these youths went to sleep, and when they woke up, Christianity, when they went to sleep, was being persecuted, and when they woke up, it had become a state religion. And yet that particular practice that they had seen when they were back then was not the same practice. So we know that they're going to try and come and give us an answer. What you're talking about, staying on the watch, is exactly what Mission Possible Radio Hour is all about, is to make sure that people are not deceived, that they have one more opportunity. You know, you're like a prophet, like Dr. Leonard Horowitz and myself, and we know what the highest truths are, and those are the spiritual truths, and we give advice and direction and warning. But we cannot tell people how to live their lives and what to think. That God gave everybody free will. But the eloquent way in which you articulate these things, and it just
Reverend
moves
Roxy,
my soul to action.
Right. And Reverend Roxy, and I believe that a witness and a testimony is by the way we live our lives, our aim, goals, and aspirations. And when I met Leonard over there on the Big Island, and by my lifestyle, no one can be in any way fooled that I don't believe this, that I am not preparing with food and water, that I am not preparing a refuge to the Church of Philadelphia. He said, I will keep you safe from the hour of trial and testing that's going to come upon the whole earth. But to the Laodiceans, the one that thought they knew everything, that they didn't need anything, he said, oh, you're so foolish. You're naked, wretched, and blind. And he said, now I'm going to test you with fire. Come back with zeal. I don't want to wind up under the altar with a white robe saying to Jesus, when are you going to avenge my death? It was such a horrible, starving death. I watched my women get raped. Mm. And I don't mean to get too dramatic, but what happens is that we want to be in that Church of Philadelphia. We want to go into a time of rest and refuge. Those that saw the sacking of Jerusalem fled to the Dead Sea Scroll caves. They just recently found one they call the Cave of the Letters. I graduated from the Institute of Jewish Christian Studies by Zoe Levitt. And those people knew the Spirit led them to be out of Jerusalem when it got sacked. And they were up there in the caves and the catacombs where nobody could find them, and every bit of food and water had been carried out there. They had the time to prepare. We just have a few months, I believe, before Mr. Bush leaves office, something dramatic will happen so that he may be able to put us into martial law. And there won't be an election, because we know where the election's going. So we have to be prepared. All of the good Mormons in New Orleans had a water filter and food in the attic, and all they had to do was make sure they knew where their can openers were. You could dump the sewer water into their filter, add it to their dehydrated food, and they would skate right on through. That's what David Wilkerson at the Times Square Church, he has a Mount Zion. He has a refuge. They were out of Times Square at 911. David Wilkerson, someone had a word of knowledge. We need to shut down. I feel something bad's going to happen. Without that direction of the Spirit, oh, we're going to be lost.
This is true. And that's why we say, we the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long,
Amen.
With so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why the first, they're going to be last. I feel sorry for these people that can't. Look at Times Square. Those people were walking out of there by the thousands, stopped at an ATM, couldn't get no cash. I was over in Honolulu for the hurricane that hit over there. I walked for hours looking for a soda machine with a soda in it. We are such an unprepared nation. That's why to the bridesmaids, there's the brides there. Half of them are foolish and half of them are prudent. Prudent is such a good word to look up in the dictionary, because that means if you see something coming, you don't go, well, I believe that God will send angels and get me out, just like he did Lot. He's not. We've had enough time to figure this mystery out. That's why he says that when he finally gets cast down, the one that's going to cause all of this turmoil and everything like that, he said, if you're in Judea, that's another thing that's coming up, is the Pope is about ready to witness the Temple Mount, to go to the Temple Mount. And when he comes to the Temple Mount, it could be possible time to flee. And that's why I tell everybody, just like the Surgeon General does, put some tuna, put some powdered skim milk under your bed, because when the bird flu comes or a catastrophe comes, we know FEMA won't be able to help you.
You don't want to go to Auntie FEMA. No. You know, Brad, you know, everybody keeps worrying about this avian flu, you know, and the Chinese had, it seems to me like they were the first ones to hit it. And I kind of found out why it is that all the Chinese aren't dead yet.
Yeah.
Why they are all driving cars and polluting the Antarctic. And that is because their government has a vested interest in seeing them live. And so they went on the radio and they told everybody to drink more and consume more 5-spice. In other words, the anise star, that particular spice that is anise star, they told them all to drink that, anise. And licorice, it's a family of the licorice, it looks like a little star. And this is supposed to be the active ingredient in the vaccines that they want to give us here in America should the flu hit. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
The vaccine is made from this particular spice.
Thing of it is that it might not so much jump from animals to humans, but if I'm not mistaken, they just killed 56,000 turkeys in Virginia that had a farm of it. What we're going to do is deplete our food supply for the rest of the people, and what happens is it might not jump directly to humans, but it will cut into our food supply drastically
that
the food prices will sky high. That's what's coming next with the ethanol. The ethanol is going to cause us to have more of our farmland in corn, which doesn't even have to be approved to the point that you can eat it. They can make ethyl from bad corn. It can be genetically altered.
Right.
But what it's going to do is take our farmland away, and with this drought now in the USA today, we're selling off herds. There's herdsmen and dairymen that are selling off 60% of their herds because they can't get enough hay to keep the animals alive. That's what a drought, a biblical kind of a drought, can do to our aquifers, to our growing. And now with ethanol, we're not growing enough food, and we're importing more from China, and they're finding out they have no FDA at all. You're not getting any approval on any of that stuff. So we're even importing food, and then when our dollar breaks down, and I've been buying as many European Union dollars as I can, as our dollar breaks down, then our buying power for oil and food decreases, and we're going to have a lot of unhappy poor people in middle class that have been lowered to poor people.
And you know what happens then? When you have unhappy poor people, the government then has to come in and take care of those people. And once they do that, they will put them in the containment camp, and we'll be right back to the new order in the descriptions in the rise and fall of the Third Reich. Every week,
I try
to give people an understanding of the rise and fall of the Third Reich, and I read something from it. I would like to, since we're talking about it, take a second. As we're coming into the end, and I just wanted to read something to everybody, that there was a man named Gustav Krupp, and that man ran the the slave had an industry, Krupp, and these are the coffee makers and all the other kinds of things. But he used slave labor.
Right.
When it came time for the Nuremberg trial, in the Nuremberg trial, they talked about how he ran his camps and how they did not feed the people and how 1,200 people would be left in a contaminated laboratory to live in a bathroom, 1,200 people at a time, children being herded in, thrown off trains. All of it is described in the Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. The chilling factor of it is that when I read these things, I'm trying to remind people that the people that they were looking at, that they had earmarked, were what they considered to be the subhumans. And according to the New World Order, all subhumans are those who owe the state money. All those who are subhumans are those that are on drugs. All those who are subhuman are those suffering from diseases. These will be the first to be segregated. The rest of us...
Listen, sister, I have to tell you, I think they'll be locked in their own cities to devour each other, and they will stand out and watch it happen as the major cities devastate themselves. That's why every Christian prophet has said, get out of the major cities.
Boy, that's definitely another picture, but either way it goes, we know there's somebody at the top issuing the final solution. What I want to do, and what we need to do, is make people aware that the money in their bank is not their own.
Amen.
And that that what you're talking about, buying other money. Now, how do you feel about gold and silver?
Oh, in the Bible it says it'll throw it into the streets. Why? When the pawnbrokers get barrels and barrels of returned rings and jewelry and everything like that. Platinum. Platinum is used in catalytic converters and in fuel cells. It's a catalyst. It's a very important, and there are no platinum mines. So anybody that's smart, dump your gold and your silver and turn it right away into platinum and hang it around your neck as a necklace.
That's a good suggestion.
Art.
I wanted to read this piece from the Nazi terror in the conquered lands and how they chased people around. There were 47 officers who were led bedfoot to a quarry. At the bottom of the steps of the guards loaded stones on their backs of these four men, and they had to carry them to the top. The first journey was made with stones weighing about 60 pounds and accompanied by blows. The second journey, the stones were still heavier. And whenever the poor wretches sank under their burden, they were kicked and hit with bludgeons. In the evening, 21 bodies were strewn along the road. The 26 others died the following morning. A familiar execution, Nazi terror in the land. The same people that we let out are now after us. And I don't know if you agree with that. I do know that Krupp was let out, given all his money back, and even said that he was not going to split up his company. And in fact, acquisition more companies after the war, responsible for millions and millions of people's death in our American Nuremberg trial. Lawyers and judges let these people go. And today we're being sought after by these very same sons of Nazis. What do you think about that?
I have lived over here on Maui for 22 years, and every kind of philosophy, theory, and conspiracy thing has been through here, okay? And I try to put them all in one pretext as... Are they going to happen immediately, and is there really that big of a conspiracy going on? And I look at Katrina as just an understanding that when it does break down, when there is something large enough to cause an overall catastrophe, that human beings will devour each other, rape and kill each other, and we need that consciousness to go high enough. But I think it's only village-sized things, because just like Katrina, we are going to see so much internally going on that I don't think that if they're doing it from the top, if the conspiracy's from the top, it is going to break us. To break us dollar-wise to the point where we have to do it. And we have the national citizenship card coming in October of next year. But then, and now they're starting over in Iraq to use that. They have a little handheld thing. They can take your eye print and your fingerprint. So it's going to get to the point that you're either going to be with them or you're going to be a rebel and against them. And that's when you're going to have to go under the radar, because then it's just a matter of there'll be a $50,000 bounty on finding someone that's not paying taxes and that we don't know where he's spending all of his money and how much he put in his account and how much he took out. So all of the conspiracy things are fine, but I think between the weather, the drought, and us having genetic engineered food all around us and all of that and the way we're increasing with all these people we can't take care of. We have 55 billion Social Security recipients coming online and the baby boomers. I was fortunate to have been born in the war. But I'm just going to make it because we can't afford it. Enron's books were cooked, but the United States of America's books are cooked way past Enron. But
and
we have
that, Brad, we're going to have to say next week, we're going to have to meet back here and continue this conversation.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Will you agree to come back next week?
I'll have a week's worth of USA Today validated for everybody.
That's right. Now I'm going to be looking in the news, and I want all the listeners out there to be looking in the news. You're listening to Mission Possible Radio Hour. I'm the host, Reverend Roxy. You've been listening to Brother Brad. I want to let you know that the music at the top of the hour was Klondikin, and it was the Ballad of Stephen Willard. And we're going to be taking you out with, and next week opening with my friend Lee Eisen. So whatever I have left, I want to wish you all the best week. I want you not to worry about a thing and don't get caught up because it could be your downfall. And I want to listen in on this here. Listen to Catch the Wave by Lee Eisen, my good friend.
And aloha kakua from Hawaii.
You're listening to BBSRadio.com. And if it's mainstream, you ain't going to hear it here. But if it's not mainstream, you'll be listening to it on BBSRadio.com. See ya!